Hey, everybody. Doug Burgum announces for the presidency. Chris Christie announces for the presidency. Mike Pence announces for the presidency. And we are joined by Jason Rantz as well to talk about his recent book, 2024 Drama, The Field Expands, as our chances to win the White House in 2024 decreases with every additional candidate. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast by opening up your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter at tpusa.com. Support our program, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. All right, to put a little bit of a capstone on it, essentially, we had an elite cabal that redefined marriage and said it was the most pressing issue in the world, and they just imposed it on the whole country, despite states' rights and states. California voted it down twice to give you an idea where the country was at. And remember, Obama was against it before he was for it. He evolved on the issue. And then at less than a decade later, we have kids learning gay sex in school. Okay? Less than a decade later. And just to be clear on my position, because some people are emailing it, I was never in favor of gay marriage, ever. I've always been traditional marriage. But I was definitely more libertarian and indifferent. Oh, what's the big deal? That was a mistake. I think a lot of us need to be willing to say, oh, that was not the right way to look at it. Okay, let's get to some other pressing news. Mike Pence is running for the presidency. Any Mike Pence fans out there? Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to read this here. So Mike Pence has a Wi-Fi password. Are we monitoring the clip of Mike Pence's speech? Are we monitoring that? I sure hope so. Mike Pence has a Wi-Fi password at his event, which is password kept his oath, exclamation point. Not a joke. A direct and defiant message to many of you. Oh, and also the smart guy. We got a lot of news. We got the Silver Fox that's running for president. We got the smart guy, Doug Burgum. And then we got Weight Watchers. So let's go one at a time. Smart guy, cut 72.
To unlock the best of America, we need a leader who's clearly focused on three things: economy, energy, and national security. And that is why today I'm officially announcing I'm running for the President of the United States of America.
Okay, so that's Governor Doug Burgum. Amazingly, I don't get any emails hating on me for criticizing Doug Burgum. Tells you a lot. But he should fire all of his consultants. Someone who announces on the presidency the same day as somebody else announcing for the presidency. I mean, you can't pick up the phone and say, hey, Mike, when are you announcing? Okay, you do Wednesday, I do Thursday. I mean, this is amateur hour here. And it's the previous vice president who's running for the presidency, and that is bizarre. But Chris Christie announced for the presidency yesterday in one of the strangest presidential announcements I've ever seen. So Chris Christie goes to New Hampshire to do kind of a town hall. And he just starts walking around. And he's walking and he turns his back to the camera. And you're like, oh boy, I don't need to see that. You're like the width of three primary voters. Like, geez Louise, man. And he's walking and with very little self-awareness, I'm going to try my best because I really don't want to dive too deep into the superficial aspect of politics. I really don't, but I just can't help myself. If you were to say, hey, let's have a drinking game for Chris Christie's presidential announcement. Again, I don't drink, but someone has a thing of vodka. Say, okay, every time he says small, yeah, okay, you'd be hospitalized and you'd have to have your stomach pumped. Play cut 56 in a really perplexing thing. Chris Christie's telling you about getting small.
We're going to be small, smaller, and smaller. And smaller in every way. Smaller, smaller in the way. Smaller, smaller is getting smaller. Being small. Small, 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 smaller and smaller. Smaller, smaller and smaller. Voldemort. Smaller, smaller and smaller. Smaller, smaller, smaller. Smaller, the small, smaller.
Oh, my goodness. Smaller. Smaller. So you got Doug Burgum running. Again, that is a real picture, not Photoshopped. Again, optics are super important. Whoever told them, hey, let's do a town hall where you're going to be waddling around. It's just that's not exactly the tone that I would set. Okay? And then you got Doug Burgum. It looks like a hostage video. The key is energy and national security. We are not a serious political party right now, folks. This is Barnum and Bailey level stuff. Who else we got? We're going to have Glenn Youngkin run. Oh, yeah, we got the Miami mayor. By the way, I don't know his, I think it's Suarez or something. We're just going to refer to him as Miami mayor. That's just what he's going to be known as. I got three people texting me. Hey, the Miami mayor is running. I was like, you know, he has a name. I don't know it either, but it'd be nice for us to look it up. Oh, it is Suarez. I got it right. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. We are not a serious political party right now. Welcome to the circus. It's just getting started. Father's Day is coming up here. You got to give the gift that keeps on grilling. Look, it's Good Ranchers, one of my favorite companies and partners here on the Charlie Kirk Show. I love it. And I basically have gone to almost an all-meat diet. And I have to keep on telling Good Ranchers, I got to send me more. And they do such a great job. Get $30 off the best Father's Day gift you can give at goodranchers.com with promo code Kirk. Good Ranchers has never and will never source meat outside of the United States, not from India or Indonesia, not from Bhutan. No, no, it's from America, 100% American. They are committed to sourcing the best quality in America and bringing it to your door in every box. 85% of grass-fed beef is imported from overseas, so Good Ranchers is a way to know for sure where your meat comes from. Lock in your price for 2 full years of the subscription to Good Ranchers. For 24 months, your price will not go up. Imagine if you have locked your price in 2 years ago. You would have saved hundreds on the meat you buy. Good Ranchers is committed to giving you inflation-proof meat you can count on. Even Nestle is raising their food prices by 10%. So don't miss out your chance to lock in your price for another round of inflation drives costs even higher. Good Ranchers donates 10 meals for every box ordered. They're all about doing good while eating good. Over the course of giving back, they've donated 1 million meals. Look, they have top quality meats. GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. This Father's Day, treat the dads you know to the ultimate grilling experience. Their chicken is better than organic. By giving the best fed pasture raising and providing a high quality living environment, their beef is all USDA prime or upper choice and the two highest grades of beef they can receive. Every piece is hand trimmed, perfectly aged, and individually wrapped to bring you the best 15% of beef this country has to offer. Plus, for a limited time, save $30 on your box when you use promo code CHARLIE. So check it out right now, goodranchers.com. Give your dad, you know, American meat delivered. Support the show, support America, eat more meat, goodranchers.com. With us now is Jason Rantz, author of the book of What's Killing America. And I want to talk about this book. Jason, you are still a resident of Seattle, which is quite admirable and impressive.
Thank you.
So Jason,
not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah. You know, I kind of know you as the Seattle guy. You know, it's very funny. Growing up, there were war correspondents that got known for their frontline reporting in Baghdad or in Mogadishu. And you're kind of the equivalent. You're kind of like the frontline guy, you know, where like, yeah, live here right outside of Seattle. All right. So tell us about your book, Jason.
Yeah, a lot of this started because once I was covering what was known as the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, CHAZ or CHOP, I started to look at different cities all across the country. And in particular, I was seeing a clear trend in some of the Democrat-run cities, the larger cities, going through pretty much the same exact crises. And rather than accepting the claim that it's all due to COVID, that homelessness is up, crime is up, housing costs are out of control, all due to COVID, which never really made sense to me, I started to look at the policies that were in place. And that's when you start to see the clear similarities that you can point to very specific policies or strategies and initiatives that are ideologically based, that are pursued by the radical left, not necessarily Democrats, but the radical left elements within the Democrat Party. And you start to be able to say, oh, that's why that's happening. This is why homelessness is increasing. This is why it's so expensive to rent or purchase a home in an area. It's pretty much the same policies implemented in very similar ways. And for me, obviously, I want to pursue an initiative to get rid of these policies. And it's mostly political. And so for all of us to truly make our cities great again and to take back our neighborhoods, it's about understanding the why. Why are these policies in place? Why does the radical left believe that these policies are what's best for communities? And once we have that information, which I outline in my book, What's Killing America, that's when I think we can start winning these battles.
So, you know, being in Seattle, something that perplexes me is, when is the Mercer Island crowd going to be like, you know, this place is not what it used to be? Is it that the people that have done so well in the Seattle-Tacoma area, the Microsoft, the Amazon, the Starbucks, the Boeing people, they're so geographically walled off from the dystopian hellscape of downtown Seattle that they don't care? Or is it that ideology will always triumph? Or is it this overly agreeable Scandinavian attitude, the same problem that Minneapolis has, that I'm just going to allow the worst possible ideas to basically railroad my home because I don't want to be called mean?
Yeah. I mean, what's happening in Seattle is really happening all across the country in these larger cities, where a lot of folks, I do think, try to wall themselves off from what was going on in sort of the downtown cores, whether we're talking about Seattle, Portland, LA, San Francisco, or Boston, Philadelphia, New York. What they were trying to do is basically move away from these areas and thinking that those bad policies wouldn't impact them. But what we're starting to see, what we've really seen over the course of the last 2 years, bad policies have a tendency to spread. This is not Las Vegas. What happens in these big cities will get into the suburbs. And the folks who try to escape, they realize that, you can't really escape unless you push back, because all of this is being done for political purposes. Radical left activists, no matter where they are, will inspire other radical left activists where they live. And if you're winning these battles from that perspective in these major cities, well, guess what? The folks on Mercer Island, the folks in Albany, the folks outside of Chicago, all of a sudden those activists say, oh, we can do this too. We can bring it to our cities. And then on top of that, they inspire lawmakers at the state level to implement policies statewide. So there's really nothing you can do to escape it. I think for a lot of folks, they were either turning a blind eye or they were blinded to what was going on because so many people in these larger cities happen to be ideologically driven, that they've got blinders on. They maybe justify some short-term pain because they think it's going to lead to long-term utopian gain. But once they get impacted personally, once they take their kid to a park and they realize in Santa Barbara it's covered in needles, once they go walking to a restaurant in Manhattan and they find themselves being robbed, well, all of a sudden they say, oh, okay, maybe this really is serious and I got to start paying more attention.
That is the question. What is the breaking point, right? And so far we're not seeing it. I mean, you take a couple cities, for example, San Francisco is another one of the kind of garden variety of West Coast liberalism. I mean, it's not debatable that San Francisco is a trash heap now. And we've seen it happen over the last couple of years. It's only gotten worse. And Hilton, for example, they just defaulted on a note. Did you see this? Where they're like, yeah, we're not even going to, we're done. They're like, we are supposed to build this big hotel. You know, lender, take the keys. We're done. They just like threw the keys back at the lender. And so there is a question of what is the breaking point. L.A. is a little bit subsidized because of, quite honestly, just the weather is so spectacular and because of Hollywood. And so they're impacted, even though they're doing their best to try to drive wealth out with this mansion tax. And we thought we would have saw the breaking point, though, after CHOP and CHAZ and, you know, autonomous zones. What are the numbers, Jason? How bad is crime now in Seattle? What versus 10 or 15 years ago?
Well, versus 10 or 15 years ago, we're way worse, right? I mean, we've seen historical increases in homicides in Seattle just as of 2 years ago. Last year, there were, I think, one or two murders shy of matching that rate. And this year so far, it looks like we're going to be on pace to either match or exceed that historic high. A lot of this is driven by gun violence. And of course, because a gun is involved, the left will automatically say it's because people can get guns too easily. But actually, that's not really what's going on here. Again, because I think you can tie it all back to policy or initiatives and strategies. The people who are committing the violence, and again, this is not just Seattle, this is happening across the country, are repeat offenders, people who have previously had interactions with police and the courts, but they were the beneficiaries of a system that doesn't want to punish them, that wants to give them endless chances, largely because they sometimes come from a marginalized community, and thus the progressives believe that the criminal justice system is racist and it's white supremacist action, blah, blah, blah. So they try to push these people and keep them out of the criminal justice system. And, you know, for kids who are 15, 16, 17 years old, who are stealing, you know, a candy bar from a 7-Eleven, no one wants to put them in jail. But if they're using a gun to rob that 7-Eleven, well, I don't think restorative justice programs are the right move for them. And yet that's exactly where a lot of these kids are being placed. And same thing with adults, where you've got adults who have been arrested 72 times, have been convicted 72 times, and yet somehow never seem to spend meaningful time in jail because the left believes, the radical left believes, that jail doesn't work, that it doesn't change someone's life. And you know what? Here's the truth. For some people, it's
unless it's a January 6th guy, then jail's always the answer.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm talking about liberals, not conservatives, obviously, because we have a different set of standards there. But yeah, jail doesn't work for everyone. It's not going to change everyone's behavior. But here's what's going to happen in the 2 years or 17 years that someone's in jail. They're not going to commit another crime in society and create a victim out of you and me, our friends and family. So it's not always just about changing or reforming the prisoner, even though I think that that's important. It's also about protecting society. And we're seeing the strategy and the consequences of it happen all across the country. And again, what I found out was these are all driven by policies. And the good news is, because they're driven by policies and laws and lawmakers, well, we have a lot of power. If we organize, we can push back and actually change things. The problem is they've created in the radical left a culture of lawlessness that doesn't change overnight. You can change all the laws and get rid of all the policies today, but it's going to take several years to get back to where we were in accepting a society that does, in fact, play by rules and has a fully staffed police department, for example.
All right, here's a fun pop quiz for you. How many sailors throughout history dived from scurvy caused by a vitamin C deficiency during the time of Columbus? Is it A, 20,000, B, 200,000, or C, 2 million? Got your answer? It's 2 million. Jeez, that's like a genocide of low vitamin C. Would you believe 2 million people had to die before we figured that out? Well, here's what gets crazier. There's a little known deficiency right now killing millions of people around the world and the disease it's causing. Insomnia. According to a study published by Academic Press, magnesium deficiency is a leading cause in sleep disruption in both children and adults. Look, I can attest to this. As soon as I started supplementing magnesium, I sleep really well. No problem going to sleep. There's only one magnesium supplement on the market that has the full spectrum of all seven forms, and it's called Magnesium Breakthrough. I have to tell you, when I take this stuff, I just feel on, like my body is finally getting something it's desperately needed. To learn more, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use promo code Kirk10 to get 10% off your first bottle. If it doesn't fix your sleep, digestion, and energy levels like it did for me, or if you're not satisfied for any reason, they'll give you a prompt and courteous refund on the spot, guaranteed. Again, just go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use promo code Kirk10 for your first bottle. Again, as soon as I started using magnesium, I wake up with more energy. I go to bed easier. Check it out. Great company, magbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use promo code Kirk10 for 10% off your first bottle. Jason, you were a frequent guest on Tucker Carlson's program. Tucker has now taken to Twitter, and I want to play a piece of tape here and just get your general reaction about how important Tucker's voice is. Let's play cut 57, please.
By this point, it's possible that American citizens are the least informed people in the world. Your average yak herder in Tajikistan knows who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. It's obvious. Does he think some skinny dude in a dress is actually a girl? Come on. That idea would never occur to him. You've got to be lied to at full volume over a period of years in order to reach conclusions like that. And of course, we have been.
Jason, Tucker's voice was silenced, and now he's back on social media. Your thoughts?
I think we're all better off when we have access to more voices. Tucker, a leading voice in the conservative movement. I'm glad that he is back. I'm glad that we can hear his analysis again. I've always, you know, you hear from some folks who don't like him because they simply disagree. Okay, then disagree with him. I think there is a lot of value to hearing people with whom you disagree. I think on the one hand, maybe it changes the way you view certain stories and maybe it changes your thoughts, or maybe the opposite. Maybe it makes you a bigger believer in your position, but at least you know what the other side is thinking. And I know that on the left, he's loathed. I know he's loved on the right. I just wish more people on the left would actually listen to the words instead of telling themselves a story about him. And frankly, all conservative voices, where we're often just dismissed because we're conservative and people don't actually engage in our ideas or analysis. They simply say, oh, well, he's conservative. It means he's a fascist or whatever it is. It's silly. It's ideologically bigoted. And I think just all of us would be better off listening to more people.
You know, Jason, I think part of the issue right now is there are certain topics you're certainly not allowed to challenge. And one of them is this LGBT stuff. You know, where you live in Seattle, it is completely out of control. Give us a flavor of some of the fights in the schools, some of the things that we've seen emerging in curriculum just in the Seattle-Tacoma area.
Yeah, and the funny part is you say it's particularly bad here. I would argue it's very similar in most parts of the country, which explains how bad this issue has become, where we are teaching kids about 13,000 different genders that you can hold all at once, sometimes not have any gender whatsoever. There was an incident in the Olympia School District that I broke last week that showed Planned Parenthood giving sex education courses to fourth and fifth graders. And some of it was what you expect. Here's why you should wear deodorant and why you have to. But a lot of it also was getting into the crazy wokeness. There was pubic hair art that was displayed to them in the form of drawings. You had specifically puberty blockers, one particular drug, Supralin LA, that was being pitched to these kids as a supply that they might need during puberty, which is odd because if you're going through puberty, you definitely don't need a puberty blocker unless you're trying to block it. And you just saw these kinds of lesson plans, pronouns, which apparently, and I'm not making this up, tree is now considered a pronoun in addition to they, them, and zzer, tree. So we're putting this in front of kids. We're doing it at a vulnerable age, in large part because they want to indoctrinate these children into holding these views about gender identity so that when they grow up and they take on positions of power, they can shift the culture. Because I think it's much more difficult to convince you and I or any adult that there are 12,000 different genders. But it's very easy when you're doing it from a position of authority with some 10-year-old or an 11-year-old. On the other hand, they're also confusing children who, look, I think people are born gay. I happen to be gay. But I also know that when you're 10, 11 years old, it is a very confusing time. And we've gone from, and I remember this, and it was sort of triggered by a UN, ironically, a UN women Twitter account that said, toys have no gender. And part of that was like, you know, 10 years ago, when a girl played with a truck or a boy wanted to cook, something like that, we were told, just let them do it. It's natural. And now we've gone, thanks to the radical left, to the position of, well, if Susie is playing with a truck, well, that means she's a boy and we should start treating her as a boy. And in fact, stop saying her and she. It has gone way too far. And there are too few voices feeling comfortable enough to push back. I'm glad what we've seen over the course of, frankly, just the last 24 hours, in particular, the Muslim community stepping up and saying, yeah, this is going too far. Because as they're doing that, we're exposing where the progressives really are. After 9/11, Muslims were deemed a marginalized community that white progressives would protect. They would completely ignore their positions on LGBT issues and just say that we're the white knight coming to the rescue of Muslims. And now all of a sudden they're calling them white supremacists. This shows you how radical these views are.
Check out Jason Rantz's book, What's Killing America? Jason, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Mike Pence has announced for the presidency. I want to play some tape here, which deserves some reaction. Mike Pence, former vice president. Let's play cut 80. I'm actually going to be hearing this for the first time. Play cut 80.
On that fateful day, President Trump's words were reckless. They endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol. But on that day, President Trump also demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. Now voters will be faced with the same choice.
Yeah, you're going to lose. So this is so... Let me just kind of tell you, I'm not saying these things are all connected, but here's a fact pattern. Does anybody else find it interesting that Mike Pence announces for the presidency and the DOJ drops all charges and investigations, not charges, all investigations into Mike Pence 7 days before his announcement? So let me give you the most innocent explanation for that, that Mike Pence's lawyers were lobbying DOJ hard to basically get that cleared up so that Mike Pence could run for the presidency. Another explanation is that Mike Pence is actively working with the Department of Justice to testify against Donald Trump in both the January 6th case and also the document case. There is enough evidence to support that. This is one of his friends speaking at his announcement. Very strange food metaphors going on. I can't quite follow all this. Something about mayonnaise on bacon and on a toast. And this is one of Mike Pence's friends or something. I kid you not. So you would think that somebody talking about bacon and mayonnaise on toast would be at the Chris Christie presidential announcement. Play cut 76.
You know, this morning I read that somebody said Mike Pence can be a lot like mayonnaise on toast. And let me just suggest this. I think you're going to get to know the Mike Pence that we know, that Congressman Pence and I know, and there's a lot of Iowa bacon, maybe even a little Tabasco sauce in that toast too.
That's the Indiana House Speaker Todd Huston. So it's a very unsavory sounding toast, by the way. I'm just trying to track this. So he said Mike Pence can be a lot like mayonnaise on toast, but it's not true. There's a lot of Iowa bacon and even a little Tabasco on that toast, too. Yeah, when I think of Mike Pence, I don't think of Tabasco. You got Mike Pence running for the presidency. Quite a coincidence that he is no longer running, that he's no longer being investigated. Some breaking news, too. This is very similar to the language pattern and the diction that Donald Trump used before he got indicted in New York, where it's just a lot of caps, a lot of angry, totally get it. I would be the same way. Where Donald Trump posted today, this is almost parallel, very symmetrical to before Alvin Bragg's deal. Wow, this is turning out to be the greatest and most vicious instance of election interference in the history of our country. Remember, I'm leading Ron DeSantis big in the polls. More importantly, I'm leading Biden by a lot. And also, perhaps most importantly, launching all these fake investigations against right smack middle in my campaign. Which, by the way, the DOJ used to not go after presidential candidates. That's all gone. Something which is unheard of, not supposed to happen. That is true. DOJ, FBI, New York, AG, New York, DA, Atlanta, DA, fascists, all. Okay, so they're probably going to indict Trump. We've been saying that for, you know, kind of around the edges. This is Trump basically telling you his statement starts with, wow. Well, what's the wow? Here's what probably happened. Donald Trump probably got a phone call from his attorney and said, Mr. President, they're going to ask you to surrender in the next couple days, and they're drafting the press release and just letting you know. That's probably what the wow is, okay? That's probably what it is. So Donald Trump going to be indicted by our federal government while fighting charges in New York. Most Republicans don't seem to care. Most Republicans, Doug Burgum, Mike Pence, Chris Christie, they seem perfectly fine with this. It'll be very interesting to see what they have to say about this. They're going to come for them next. The Miami mayor, they're going to come after all of them next. They hate Donald Trump so much. It is a personal vendetta. All signs are pointing to a second now indictment of Donald Trump, this time on federal charges, probably on documents. J6 might come later. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.